So, good morning, all. I know many of you, some of you quite well, some of you partially, some of you I've seen before and had to work on figuring out where I'd seen you before. But for anyone who doesn't know me, as Mark said a few minutes ago, my name is Matt Basil, and I am one of the elders at one of your sister churches here in Manhattan at Gloria Deo. And I've known Nate and I've known several of the others of you for many years now. And as it turned out, Nate was going to have a busy summer, as we move into fall, a busy fall this year. He reached out to Dan and I, the other elder at Gloria Deo, to see if we could help fill the pulpit here at Christ the Redeemer while he was away. And since I was rejoicing in the reasons that he needed to be gone, yeah, everyone needs a week off, and then he gets to celebrate two of his son's weddings this fall, I enthusiastically agreed to come and join with you. Plus, I count it a blessing to be among the people of God and to see churches interact across Manhattan. That's a glory as well. And I've been invited to preach at other pulpits a handful of times over the last few years, and I've noticed a trend whenever I share the word with another body of believers. And that trend is I have to pick a passage to preach on. I'm not real good at picking passages to preach on. At Gloria Deo, I never have to do that. We go through a book, pick a book, and we spend 6 months, maybe even longer, going through that book passage by passage. So any given week, I know what I'm preaching on next, simply the next passage in the book that we're going through. And so when I preach in other congregations, I find I have a hard time picking a passage to preach on. Choosing one of the things out of the glorious wealth of Scripture is not one of my strong points. I love meditating on the Word of God, but choosing which part of the Word of God to meditate on isn't always one of my high points. And so I always struggle a little bit as I come to another congregation and pick kind of a one-time sermon. And so as I wrestled through what I wanted to bring to you from the Word of God this morning, I thought back to a sermon that I preached at another church. I'd been visiting another church filling the pulpit. And I had preached a sermon to honor an elder who had contributed much to my growth in Christ, a man that I had known for many years who had invested in me. And he asked me to fill his pulpit, and I could think of no better thing to do than to honor him for the work that he had done for me in Christ. And then as I come to you this morning, I can say something about something similar about your pastor, Nate Wilson. I valued his wisdom and his example as a fellow elder in our community, and especially as Gloria Deo was starting up. We're a younger church than you are, but Nate and Mark and Chip also met with us several times as we were starting through. We gained much wisdom from them as we started. And Nate especially has partnered with me. I'd been taking some seminary classes. He was my mentor through that. And so I've valued Nate much as I've grown in Christ and as I've grown as an elder. And so I want to preach a similar sermon to one that I preached at another church to honor an elder that had contributed much to me, to honor a man who has given his life to serve Christ and served me well and has served you well by calling you to do something that Scripture calls you to do, to honor your elders. And so I picked for our primary text this morning, 1 Timothy 5:17. It's going to be a very short text, and it's going to turn out we're not even going to cover this entire verse. We're just going to cover a few words in this verse. But this is where I want to start this morning, 1 Timothy 5:17. And so Paul's writing to Timothy. He's been teaching Timothy what a church should look like. How is he going to raise up churches in Ephesus and wherever else he might go to? But how should he? He should be raising up elders. He should be organizing the church this way. And as we come to chapter 5, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." And so that's the text that I'm going to try to expound on this morning. And I want to do that in order to honor Nate, who does do this. He is an elder in your midst. He's the one who labors in preaching and teaching to you week in and week out. And my hope is that through this sermon, you will be encouraged both in desire and knowledge to honor your elders. To honor Nate, also to honor Chip and Mark, who serve in this church and have devoted themselves to leading in this church, and potentially in the future others who may be raised up in this church to lead in this church. But as I said a moment ago, I do have to caveat that a little bit. We aren't going to cover everything in this verse. In fact, we could spend weeks tearing apart the words in this verse because there's a wealth of information in this verse. And so, for example, it talks about the elders who rule well. We could ask, what does it mean for an elder to rule well? It's a great topic of conversation that I'm going to completely ignore this morning. Maybe Nate or one of your elders can develop that some this morning. Or again, it talks about elders who labor in preaching and teaching. There's a subset of elders who devote themselves to this work. And we could ask, why do they do that and how do they do that? But again, I'm going to completely ignore that this morning, and perhaps someone else can teach that. I just want to focus on a couple of words here, that the elders who rule well should be considered worthy of double honor. The elders who rule well should be considered worthy of double honor. But even in this command, there's actually two commands there. In fact, the word two is found in the middle of this, worthy of double honor. I'm only going to focus on one of those commands this morning, and we're not even going to focus on everything in this one little phrase. And so there are two types of honor that we should give to elders in our local congregation. And most people who preach on this passage would focus on what I consider the second, the doubled honor. And what Paul is talking about here, and as we look in context, we see that clearly, that Paul believes and wants the churches to see that they should honor their elders by providing for them. They are serving the church, and there ought to be a monetary provision for the time that they give to the church. And that is a great thing to focus on, but it's not what I want to focus on this morning, because when we focus on the doubled honor, the second honor, sometimes we forget that there's a first honor that goes to an elder. And I want to focus on that first honor, honoring them, we could say, with our esteem or our respect. And so this morning, I'm going to constrain myself to that first honor. How do we honor our elders? We're supposed to honor elders who rule well, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. But how do we do that? So we'll look at three points this morning. Basically, we're going to look at how, we're going to look at why, and we're going to look at who. So let's start with how. And we'll look at three ways that we are called to honor our elders. And so the first question we need to answer this morning is how do we do this? How do we honor our elders? Honor is a word that can have a variety of meanings. And as we think about the word honor, it says honor your elders. We could make it mean too little, or we could make it mean too much. And so we need to think through, what is Scripture calling us to do when it calls us to honor elders? But as we look across Scripture, I think we can see a clear pattern for how we're called to honor our elders. And so this morning, I want to show three simple ways we can honor our elders out of Scripture. The first way, we honor our elders by loving their gospel leadership. We honor them by loving their gospel leadership. And so to see this first method or this first way of honoring our elders, I want to go and look at Hebrews 13:17. And in fact, I might have chosen that as our verse this morning, because I'm going to spend a lot of time this morning in Hebrews 13:17, because there's, again, a wealth of teaching for how we should honor our elders in this verse. And so we turn to Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And so the section I want to focus on right now in this verse is that first phrase. It says, obey your leaders. And actually, in almost every English translation, there's something very close to that phrase, obey your leaders. But I think there may be some nuance that is missed in our English translations at this point. It's correct, but it's slightly unfortunate how it's been translated. The Greek here doesn't mean obey in the sense that we often think of obey, like children obey your parents, doing what they say. Instead, it has a meaning closer to being persuaded by your elders, or have confidence in your elders, or be trusting in your elders, be following their lead. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, when you see your elders going somewhere, follow them. Have confidence in them. Be trusting where they're leading you. The author of Hebrews isn't merely calling us to obey our leaders. He's calling us to watch our elders' leadership and try to follow it. He's calling us to listen to our elders' teaching and try to agree with it. And so the first way we can honor our elders is by loving their gospel leadership. When they lead, we try to follow. We don't try to lead our own way. We don't ignore which way they're trying to go. We love their leadership over us. And therefore, when we see where they're going, we want to jump in and say, I want to go that way too. They're leading me towards the gospel. I'm all in. I'm going to go with you. And so that's the first way. We love their gospel leadership. And we see this in another verse as well in 1 Timothy 5:12 through 13. It says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." And so we read that verse a few minutes ago in our responsive reading. It was the start of the 1 Thessalonians passage we read. And I want to focus again on one phrase out of this verse. It says that we ought to esteem our leaders, our elders, very highly in love because of their work. We esteem them highly in love. And so Paul tells us in Thessalonians we shouldn't only be trying to follow our elders' leadership, but we should esteem them. We should love them as they lead us. In other words, we should be thinking well of our elders, which comes into this concept of following. When we think well, when we love our elders' leadership, we will want to follow where they're going. We aren't going to just try to go where they're leading us. We're going to love where they're leading us. We're going to try to understand and try to put our affections in where they want us to go, because we trust that you're trying to lead us to Christ. And so we love their gospel leadership. And so as Nate and as Mark and Chip are trying to labor to lead and to teach in this church, they're struggling to grow up this church in Christ. Honoring them means trying to understand what they're trying to teach. We pay attention week after week and say, where is he trying to take us as a church? Where are they trying to take us as a church? When your elders push you towards this, it's easy to ignore them. It's easy to fall into an apathetic stance and say, well, I'm going to show up week after week, but I might not catch where they're trying to go. Sometimes because of our sinful nature, if they're trying to push us one way, a lot of us, and I know that happens in my heart a lot, would say, no, I want to push a little bit the other way. But instead, Scripture warns us against this. It says, no, love your elders' leadership. Your elders' leadership, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, is for your good. So love it. He's trying to grow you up in Christ. We should follow their lead and be happy about it. Our goal should be to catch their vision and run with it. So that's the first way we honor our elders, by loving their gospel leadership. And then we'll have a second way. We love their gospel leadership, but we also listen to their gospel admonitions. We listen to their gospel admonitions. And so, last point, we follow our elders gladly. We love their gospel leadership. But as we have elders in the church, we know, and I'm just going to say this as a blanket statement, we know that we're not always going to agree with our elders. Sometimes there's going to be some slight disagreement over this or over that. Maybe I do this thing this way and they want to do it that way. There's just going to be some tension. We're not always going to agree on everything. And sometimes that disagreement isn't over little things. Sometimes there might be big disagreements. We hope that that isn't the case. But sometimes an elder may even have to confront sin in an individual's life, either in a corporate church's life or in an individual's life. They're going to have to come and lovingly confront sin. That's a task that an elder is called to do. And so this next point has to do with that. How do we respond to our elders when we might disagree with them, when we might have a little bit of tension with what they're doing, or when it comes to the point where we're in such different places that they're going to say, I'm sorry, I think where you're going is a sinful way, that this isn't tending towards your growth in Christ. What we do with that? And again, I want to turn to the same verse, Hebrews 13:17. Read it again. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." And I want to focus, we focused on that first part of that phrase a moment ago. I want to focus now on the second part of that phrase. We said that obey your leaders didn't mean obey in the sense that we sometimes think of obey, but rather having a confidence in or following their lead. And I can say that gladly, because the second word does literally mean obey. It means submit to your elders. And so it says, basically it says, follow your elders' lead, and when it comes to it, simply obey what your leaders are telling you to do. And so this word does have much more of the connotation of obedience. It literally means to surrender. It means there might be opposing viewpoints, there might be some disagreements, which side should surrender? It says surrender to your elders. Be putting yourself under your elders. In other words, we should be trying to follow our elders' lead. We talked about that in our last point. But even when we find ourselves in a place where we just plain disagree with our elders, we should still be submitting to them. Now, we need to be careful about that. We could make that be much too big of a truth. We could say, no matter what your elders say, you need to obey them. And that is not what I want to say this morning. If your elders ever tend to lead you in a way that is against Christ, is clearly against the Word of God, then we ought not to submit to them. That's not what this means. But I have confidence. I know your elders. I know your elders are striving to grow you up in Christ. And so for those disagreements that happen, and disagreements happen, we're human. And not only are we human, we're filled with sin nature. A sin nature, we will have disagreements on how we should do things. We should submit to them. Submitting to them is an act of honor. It's saying, God has placed you over me in Christ. It's a true statement. And when we submit, we're agreeing with that statement. And we say more than that. We say, God has placed you over me in Christ in order to encourage my growth. And so I'm going to honor your leadership, even if I don't completely agree with you. And then we can look at another verse again, actually the same verse again. We'll look at 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. We looked at the second half. Now let's look at the first half. It says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And so that word admonish is important. Paul tells us we should respect and appreciate those who labor among us, and especially those who admonish us in the Lord. The word admonish means a warning about sin, a gentle rebuke or correction to point us back to the right way. Our leaders ought to be doing that. That's a core reason for having elders in a church. And Paul tells us we need to respect our elders even when they're challenging places in our lives, when they're admonishing us, when they're trying to guide and mold us into the things of Christ. That's when we need to respect them highly and esteem them in love. Honoring our elders means listening to their gospel admonitions when they come and confront sin in our lives. They aren't doing it because they like conflict. As an elder in another church, I tell you, I never will confront someone because I like conflict. I would prefer never to do that. In fact, I usually have to go back to the Word of God and say, well, God says I have to. Otherwise, I'd set that one aside. It would be very easy for elders not to do that. They're doing it because they're obeying Christ. They're doing it because they want to see Christ in you. They love Christ and they love you. They want to see you formed up in Christ. And so we honor them by humbly listening to their gospel admonitions. When they come and say something, we think about it. We say, well, maybe I am wrong. Maybe my elders are seeing a bigger picture of the gospel than I am. And maybe I'm starting to stray off the path and I need to think about what my elders are saying and have them direct me back like a shepherd with a sheep, back on to the path that I need to go. And so that's the second way. We honor them by listening to their gospel admonitions. We love their gospel leadership. When they're leading, we're going to follow. We listen to their gospel admonitions. When they come and tell us something that we might agree with, we still listen to them. We still try to honor them. We still try to submit to them. But then we'll have a third way. We honor our elders by living a gospel life. And so my first two ways of honoring our elders have focused on times that you are with your elders. When your elders are leading, you're following. When your elders are challenging, you're listening. But this way is going to be a little more abstract. It's going to deal with times that you're not around your elders. So how do we honor our elders even when they aren't with us? And so I want to turn to Hebrews 13 again, but we're going to move back a few verses. We did read this at the start of our service this morning. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And so that's the author of Hebrews' first challenge to those who are in a church and following their leaders. They say that the author of Hebrews tells us that how we live our lives is a way of honoring our elders. When we live our lives by imitating our elders' gospel-centered lives, that's a way of honoring them. When we make our lives centered on the gospel, we're honoring our elders because that's what your elders want to see. That's what your elders are working toward. They're striving in Christ to see you built up in Christ, to be running in the gospel. So when you run in the gospel, you're honoring your elders' leadership. Conversely, when we make no effort to live gospel-centered lives, we're dishonoring our elders. When they're striving to build you up in Christ and we say, I will do whatever I want. I will ignore these gospel-centered things and I will live for myself. We're saying we don't care about our elders' service to us. So more than anything else you could do, the best way you can honor your elders, the best way you can honor your elders is to listen to their teaching, watch their lives, and then go out and lead a gospel-centered life. When you make much of Christ in your life, when your actions demonstrate that you love Christ, this is the greatest joy an elder ever could have. In fact, John will say in 3 John verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And that ought to be, I'm confident it is for every good elder. That's an elder's greatest joy to say, yes, those who I've struggled to lead and guide, they're walking in the truth. Even if they forget me, they're running after Christ. Partially, I want them to forget me and make so much of Christ that they're just running towards Christ. And so we make much of our elders, and we honor our elders by running after Christ, by living a gospel life. And so there's three straightforward ways to honor our elders out of Scripture. We honor them by loving their gospel leadership. We watch to see where they're leading, and then we enthusiastically follow. We honor our elders by listening to their gospel admonitions. We humbly and graciously listen to our elders as they teach and admonish us, even as they confront sin in our lives for our good in Christ. And finally, we honor our elders by living a gospel-centered life. We listen to our elders' teaching, we'll watch our elders' lives, and then we strive to live out what they've been teaching us. And so that's our first point, three ways to honor your elders. But now I want to think about, why do we do that? Why would we honor our elders? Beyond simply it's commanded in Scripture, that's a great reason to honor your elders. But God doesn't just give us commands in order to give us commands. He gives us commands for our good. And so I want to give three reasons, three encouragements for why you would honor your elders. And so we did how, now we're going to do why. And so three reasons. First, honoring your elders is good for you. Simple statement. Honoring your elders is good for you. When you live in these ways, when you try to follow their leadership, when you listen to their admonition, when you live a gospel life, that's working for your benefit in Christ. And so we're going to again turn to Hebrews 13:17. Like I said, we're going to come back to this verse over and over again this morning. We're going to take every phrase out of this verse and talk about it. But the phrase that I want to look at right now is that second longer phrase. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. They're keeping watch. They are literally like shepherds standing on the outskirts and watching for dangers and watching the sheep and making sure that the sheep are safe, that the sheep are taken care of. And so the author of Hebrews can't even get to the end of his sentence. He starts out, he says, obey your leaders and submit to them. But then he has to give a reason why. Why would you do this? Why? Because they're keeping watch over your souls. You should do this because it's good for you. Your leaders are leading you. Your leaders are confronting you because they want your soul to be counted righteous in Christ. And so when you cooperate with them in this task, you're working for your own good. You're not merely submitting to Christ, although let's say that's an excellent thing and never discount that. But when you do that, you're working for your own good in Christ. As long as your elders are trying to lead you to Christ, and again, I'm glad to say that knowing this church, I know that they are. If they are working to that, then cooperating with them is for your good. And so the author of Hebrews ends the admonition by stressing in the negative sense, but he stresses that when you honor your elders, it is advantageous to you. And so he ends the statement. He says, let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. In the opposite sense, if you let them do this with joy, it's an advantage to you to let your elders lead you in Christ. Honoring your elders is good for you. Then a second reason, honoring your elders is good for your church. So the first reason was personal. Our second reason will be corporate. When you think about your body here at Christ the Redeemer, your elders are working to build up your church in Christ. And especially they're working to build you up. They're working to build you up individually, but especially they're working to build you up corporately as a body in Christ. And so when you honor your elders, it tends to the good of your church. And for this point, I want to turn to a slightly longer passage out of Ephesians 4. I'll read verses 11 through 16. And it's talking about Christ. It says, Christ, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed back and forth by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so it says, Christ gave gifts to the church. And one of those gifts is the shepherds and the teachers. Shepherds and teachers, shepherding and teaching are the eldership roles. They're ruling in the church, and they're teaching and preaching in the church. Again, those same categories we see in 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well, the shepherding, be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching, the teaching aspect of that. And it says that Christ gave those as gifts to the church. He has given them to the church for a specific reason, too, to equip the saints, to build them up as a body in Christ, to encourage them in the faith, and to increase their knowledge of the Son of God. Christ has given these for reasons. When we cooperate with the shepherds and the teachers, the elders, then we grow up in maturity in Christ. The result of the elders' role is that the church has grown up into Christ. The church will no longer be childish, not having a good understanding of Christ. Instead, they'll be growing up into Christ, who is the head of the church. When we recognize elders as gifts to the church, not someone to be ignored or even to have a little bit of conflict, but when we recognize them as gifts, we will honor elders for what they do because we see in them Christ's gift to our church. Having elders placed over us is a gift from Christ. And so when we honor our elders, we are participating in this pathway of growth in Christ. The elders are given as gifts to the church to encourage growth. But growth only happens when each part is working together, when the elders are leading, and when we're following the elders leading together. And then we'll have a third reason to honor elders. It's good for you personally. It's good for you corporately. But then third, honoring your elders is good for your elders. Honoring your elders is good for your elders. And so once more, we'll come to Hebrews 13:17. But this time I want to focus on that middle phrase. They're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And so the author of Hebrews tells us that elders will have to give an account for how they watch over the souls in their care. So they have to watch over your souls. They have to. If they don't watch over your souls, at the last judgment, Christ will demand that of them. He will say, why did you not stand and shepherd my flock? I put you in that position and you failed your task. So they have to watch over your souls. They have to watch over your souls whether you want them to or not, whether you want to cooperate with them or not. And a good elder is going to be striving towards this, struggling. He'll be doing as Paul says. Paul is describing his ministry. He says, him we proclaim, that is, Christ we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And then he says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. That's what an elder ought to be doing, and that's what your elders are doing in your midst, toiling, struggling with all of Christ's energy to build you up in Christ. And so elders are called to give an account, and a good elder will be struggling to be faithful to that task. But the author of Hebrews doesn't only tell us that elders will give an account. He encourages, therefore, not to make their job harder. He tells us to let them do their work with joy and not with groaning. They're going to have to struggle to watch over your souls. That's their job. They will be required of that. So if they have to do it, let them do that with joy, not with groaning. Cooperate with them. He's telling us that we should fall into submit to our elders so that our elders' job isn't harder than it has to be. So when you honor your elders, it's good for your elders as well. Your elders, if they're good elders, and again, I'm glad to say here in this church they are, if they're good elders, they're going to be working with all their effort to see you mature in Christ. But it's up to you whether they will rejoice in that work or if they will groan in that work. Will it be their joy to partner with you in pursuing Christ? Or will you be the one that they grieve over, mourning and praying for a change in your heart? And so the author of Hebrews says, let them do it with joy, cooperate with them, follow them, not with groaning. When you honor your elders, it makes the job they have to perform before Christ that much easier, and therefore that much more joyful. And so again, there's plenty of reasons to honor your elders. We honor your elders because it's good for us individually, it's good for our church corporately, and it's good for your elders. But then I want to turn to one last point. We've looked at how, we've looked at why, but now I want to look at who. Who are we honoring when we do this? I've called this point the ultimate honor. And this might seem like an odd question to ask. Who are we honoring? Because obviously, we're honoring our elders. That command has a who. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. It's the elders specifically, that rule well, that shepherd the church well under Christ. But that's the who, but it's not the ultimate who. This is not who we're ultimately honoring when we honor our elders. And so I want to look back at Scripture and try to figure out who we ultimately honoring when we honor our elders. And so as we look at this, we're going to see that honoring our elders is ultimately honoring Christ. That's the real answer to who we're honoring. Honoring your elders is honoring Christ. It's not ultimately about your elders. It's ultimately about who Christ is, his position over the church. And so let's look at 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. And I want you to pay special attention to a comparison that's made between the middle and the end. So let's read it together. It says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And then, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And so after giving instructions to elders on how they're supposed to be shepherding the church of God, these are commands to elders. How do they perform their work? And we could, again, spend a lot of time thinking through those. We're not going to this morning. But then he encourages the elders by telling them, you are not the ultimate shepherd of the church. You are shepherding the flock of God, but you are not the shepherd of the church. There is another shepherd who is the chief shepherd. And when Peter refers to the chief shepherd, he's referring to Jesus Christ, the shepherd of his flock. He's telling us elders shepherd the church. They do. They rule over the church. They watch out for the church. But there are shepherds of the church because they're servants of a greater shepherd, one who is always shepherding his church. We see this all over Scripture. We could look again, Revelation 7:17. This is kind of the eschatological view. And it says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And so in this glorious picture of Revelation, John again tells us who the ultimate shepherd of the church is. The ultimate shepherd is the Lamb. It is Christ who gave himself up as a sacrificial lamb in order to redeem his church. In fact, this was one of the core promises of the new covenant. When we see the new covenant promised in the Old Testament, over and over again, it said there would be a shepherd for the sheep. And in fact, we read this earlier this morning. We can go back to Jeremiah 23. I'll read that one more time. It says, "Woe to the shepherds." The shepherds of Israel had failed in their task. "So woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." God promised that a better shepherd would come. The shepherds of old Israel failed, and there was, according to God's plan, he wanted to contrast them. They will fail because a better shepherd will come. A better son of David would be raised up to shepherd God's people, to reign over them as king, to gather them together under one head. But then see here, it doesn't only mention one shepherd, it mentions multiple shepherds. There will be a chief shepherd, a king ruling over the flock of God's people. But then he says, I will appoint shepherds over them. Under him will be faithful shepherds, ones who are filled with his spirit to lead and to guard God's people. There would be a chief shepherd and there would be under shepherds. That's wrapped up in the promise of a new covenant. So if Christ is the chief shepherd and elders are merely his servants, imitating and pursuing his work in the church, then honoring our elders is honoring Christ. We're honoring Christ because we're honoring those whom he, as the chief shepherd, has appointed over his church. And so we see this in Romans 13:1. This verse isn't particularly about elders, but it has a universal statement that we can think about here. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. He's talking right now primarily about the government that's put over us. But then listen to this. It says, for there is no authority, not a single authority in the entire universe, except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. If we can say that about government, which often has very little to do with Christ, then how much more can we say that about elders that Christ has raised up in his church? They are under him. He has appointed them. And so honoring them is honoring the one who appointed them to their position. And so we're honoring Christ and submitting to his plan. That's what he planned for his church. And we're also honoring his role in the church when we honor our elders. If Christ is the chief shepherd, when we submit to the shepherding of our elders, we are testifying that we need a shepherd. Christ is the shepherd. I need a shepherd. And we are grateful for Christ's shepherding work in our lives. And that shepherding work that Christ exerts in his church is often partially enacted through our elders. Our elders are, as it were, an extension of Christ's work, the way that Christ is working right now in his church. There are many other ways that he is also working, but we honor that concept of shepherding by submitting to our shepherd, by honoring our shepherds. So honoring our elders is ultimately honoring to Christ. And so if honoring elders is ultimately honoring Christ, then honoring elders is ultimately a response to the gospel. When we think about Christ as the chief shepherd, this ought to bring us right back to the core of the gospel. And so we started here in 1 Peter 5, seeing how Peter is talking to the shepherds of the church, but saying, you're shepherds of the church because there is a chief shepherd. But that's not the first time that Peter had talked about the chief shepherd in 1 Peter. So we're going to go back a couple chapters. He had introduced the concept of a chief shepherd in 1 Peter 2, 24 through 25. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Christ, as our chief shepherd, is the shepherd who is willing to leave the comfort and the safety of his dwelling place in heaven to seek out lost sheep, even to seek them out at the cost of his own life. In fact, Jesus said that would be the mark of the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so Christ's shepherding role is the gospel. Christ's shepherding role is the gospel. So honoring your elders, which is ultimately honoring Christ, is a response to the gospel. If Christ being the shepherd is the heart of the gospel, then honoring shepherds is responding to the gospel. So the beginning of my message may have seemed very man-centered. And in fact, there could be a real danger of being man-centered in giving you a command to honor your elders. But this is why it's not man-centered. Honoring your elders has nothing to do with your elders. Your elders are men. They will be judged as men. They will be the same as you. But they're raised up in the church to represent what Christ is to his church. And so honoring your elders is about Christ and the gospel. Honoring your elders is rooted in the fact that Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Your elders preach that message. Your elders encourage you to live that message by dying to sin and living to righteousness. Your elders point to this chief shepherd. And I need to pause here and say, if you don't know what that means, if you don't understand what it means that Christ took our sins, that he died in our place, that he provided our righteousness, if you've never come and sought refuge in this gospel, then please ignore the rest of our message, because that's secondary. Come and learn what that means. Honoring men without knowing the gospel will do nothing. It will actually probably do you much harm. Please don't leave this morning without asking someone. If you don't understand this, please don't leave this morning without asking someone. Your elders that are here, or really anyone in the congregation, what that means. I'd love to talk with that about that with you. But once we understand that glorious truth, once we see the glories of the gospel, that Christ laid down his life for us to gather us into his fold, then a response to the selfless shepherd is to submit to his shepherding. The gospel calls us to bow our knees to our shepherd, our chief shepherd. And one practical and powerful outworking of that is to joyfully submit to our shepherds, the shepherds that Christ has appointed over us. Submitting to your elders is a glorious testament of submission to the gospel. And so honoring your elders is ultimately honoring to Christ. And this gives us the ultimate reason why we can honor our elders. One of the reasons that it's hard to honor your elders, one reason this comes up all over Scripture in the New Testament, is that this is a hard thing. I know my own heart. I often don't want to honor other people. If someone is placed over me, sometimes my sinful nature will say, I want to exert my own way. I want to lead myself. It's hard for us to be put into submission sometimes. And one reason for that is elders are men. Your elders are sinful men. I'm not going to stand up here and say any of your elders are perfect. I certainly am not. I do wrong things and I make wrong decisions sometimes. I am a sinful man, hopefully led by the Spirit of Christ, but a sinful man. And so sometimes they'll make mistakes. Sometimes they're going to offend you. Sometimes they may even wrong you. Your elders aren't going to be perfect. They should be striving to follow after Christ, but they aren't going to be perfect. But that makes it hard to follow. How can I follow someone who I'm not sure will always lead me in exactly the right direction? How can I follow someone who might at some point hurt me or wrong me in some way? But if honoring elders is not ultimately about our elders, it's ultimately about honoring Christ, then this gives us great freedom to honor our elders, even when they're sinful men, even when they make mistakes every once in a while. And so we'll come back to 1 Peter. We read 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Now I'm going to continue off. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will also receive the crown of glory. Then it says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. So after giving instructions to the elders in verses 1 through 3, and then encouraging the elders to imitate the chief shepherd in verse 4, Peter turns to the rest. He turns to the entire congregation, and he encourages them to submit to their elders. Likewise, you who are younger, the contrast there is the important part with elders. Be subject to the elders. But immediately after telling them to be in submission to their elders, though, he turns to the topic of humility. And we have to ask why. Why is humility the next thing on Peter's mind? And so, as I said many times this morning, honoring your elders can be hard. Hard for a variety of reasons. And it requires great humility. Humility before our elders, but ultimately a humility before Christ. Christ has appointed elders over his church. We ought to humble ourselves and submit to Christ's leadership of his church. And Christ's leadership of his church is expressly in appointing elders over his church. But Christ is not only in charge of his church, not only do we need to humble ourselves and submit to his leadership by submitting to the elders he has appointed over us, he's also the loving chief shepherd of his church. And so he cares deeply about his church. That's how he ends this statement. He says, because he cares for you. Jesus is a good chief shepherd. And so we can humble ourselves while casting all of our cares, all of our anxieties on the chief shepherd. I don't know how this is going to go. If I follow my elders, I might not be in control. I might not know where we're going. But I can cast my anxieties on a chief shepherd, one who I know is going to lead his church well, one who I know will care for me, will make sure that I make it to that final day standing in his grace. And so when it's hard to honor our elders, when it's hard to follow their lead or listen to their admonitions, even when we disagree with something our elders say, instead of choosing not to honor our elders, we can cast our cares on Christ, knowing that he is going to care for us and he is going to care for his church. So Christ, being the chief shepherd, gives us the best reason that we can honor our elders. We can honor our elders because we know that Christ cares for his church. This gives us great freedoms to honor our elders well, even though they're sinful men, even though they're wrong sometimes. Christ is always going to be right, and Christ is always going to lovingly and perfectly shepherd his church. And so honoring your elders isn't a man-centered, worldly task. If we get it wrong, it might be, but it ought not to be a man-centered, worldly task. Honoring our elders is submitting to Christ. It's loving his gospel. It's the practical and joyful way of living out our faith in a chief.